This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. Time now for a look at Wednesday's headlines, and we begin with the war on terror, and specifically the threat posed by Iran's growing nuclear program. As we reported in recent days, former U.S. Ambassador to the United Nations John Bolton believes Israel has until just August 21st in order to launch a military strike to bring down Iran's Bashir nuclear power plant. That's because last week Russia announced it would begin fueling that plant, and any subsequent strike would disperse massive amounts of radiation among the Iranian people, as well as most likely into the waters of the Persian Gulf. But does that mean Israel will strike before August 21st? The answer to that question is no, according to Mike Evans, an American who's a longtime insider with Israeli leaders and a close personal friend of current Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. Evans says there are too many competing factors right now for Israel to strike, including a major military contract currently being fulfilled in the United States, the economic impact of doing that now, as well as the media onslaught that would happen against it. Instead, Evans says Israel will wait, most especially until after the midterm elections, so that President Obama could not use an Israeli strike against Iran to rally congressional Democrats on the ballot in November. The other major debate, of course, going on right now related to the war on terror is the proposed mosque/cultural center, proposed to be built very near Ground Zero. The issue became a national story thanks to President Obama's comments late last week that he supported the right of the Muslims to build that close to the site where Muslim radicals killed 3,000 Americans during the 9/11 attacks. Among the reasons that Obama and others support this structure is because they say the imam behind this mosque supports a strong dialogue between Muslims and the West in order to bridge differences. But is that true? Absolutely not. According to Walid Shubat, he is a former PLO terrorist who is now an American who converted to Christianity. He has translated some of the speeches of this imam as he travels around the world trying to raise money and awareness for this mosque. Shubat says Faisal Abdul Rauf has no interest whatsoever in interfaith or cross-cultural dialogue, and his recent overseas comments prove it.
As far as building bridges, he said to the Qatar University in Rights for All, he said that, "I do not believe in religious dialogue. Religions do not dialogue. We get together in hotels and we accomplish nothing. I do not believe in religious dialogue."
So what exactly is the imam interested in? Shubat translates again.
He says people need to use peaceful means to advise the governors and government institutions and use peaceful means that are available to send their message out to the masses. We also suggest to the governors and political institutions to consult Muslim religious institutions and Muslim personalities in the field so as to assure their decision-making to reflect the spirit of Sharia Islamic law. So there you have it.
Sharia Islamic law is, of course, being followed in some of the most repressive regimes around the world, particularly as it relates to non-Islamic people in the country and also especially against women in those cultures. But, of course, the protests go on against the construction of this mosque at this site. But there's also some blowback, this time from House Speaker Nancy Pelosi. While some want an investigation of the $100 million that is going to fund the construction of this massive mosque, Speaker Pelosi wants to know who's funding the protesters.
There is a concerted effort to make this a political issue by some, and I join those who have called for looking into how is this opposition to the mosque being funded? How is this being ginned up?
In another strange twist, the only church actually destroyed by the crumbling of the Twin Towers on 9/11 has still yet to be rebuilt, and now the city of New York telling St. Nicholas Orthodox Church that it won't be rebuilt. A massive dispute over what's the reality between the church and the city of New York, with the city of New York saying the church is free to rebuild with certain conditions. The church says that the site where the church originally stood and where the city wants it to rebuild is now unsuitable for doing so. But the church officials say they hope all this attention about the mosque drums up public support for allowing the church to rebuild as it wishes to in the shadow of Ground Zero. As for President Obama today, wrapping up a three-day fundraising tour to a number of states around the country, today he found himself in Ohio, no surprise, since that's a bellwether state for 2012, and the president once again talking about the economy. He told a small gathering of folks outside in the Buckeye State that the economy is headed in the right direction, although rather slowly.
Whereas we were losing jobs in the private sector, when I was first sworn in, we're now gaining jobs, and we've gained jobs seven consecutive months in the private sector. The economy was shrinking about 6%. The economy is now growing. So we've made progress, but let's face it, the progress hasn't been fast enough.
In one other political story today, just one day after an Illinois jury found Rod Blagojevich guilty of one count but couldn't agree on the verdict on 23 other counts, the government says it will go forward to retry Blagojevich on those other 23 charges, including the one alleging that he tried to sell President Obama's Senate seat once Obama was elected president. Blagojevich was convicted on one count of lying to the FBI, which could carry as much as 5 years in prison, but it is considered one of the lesser charges in the 24-count indictment. For his part, though, Blagojevich sees himself as simply being persecuted.
The government threw everything but the kitchen sink at me, that on every count except for one and every charge except for one, they could not prove that I did anything wrong. This is a persecution. We have police officers who are being gunned down on the streets. We have children who can't play in front of their homes in the summertime because they might get gunned down. And we have a prosecutor who is wasted and wants to spend tens of millions of dollars of taxpayer money to keep persecuting me, persecuting my family, take me away from my little girls, as well as take my home away from us.
And on one lighter note, in the sporting world, hold on to your seats because I'm sure you didn't see this one coming. Brett Favre, officially back in the NFL and will suit up at least one more season with the NFL's Minnesota Vikings. Last year, Favre and the Vikings got to overtime of the NFC Championship game and just barely missed out on going to the Super Bowl. As far as the interviews today, you can hear my full conversations with Mike Evans, Waleed Shobat at worldnetdaily.com and dateline.radioamerica.org. And you'll also hear my chat with Amy Ridenour of the National Center for Public Policy Research. Now, she questions the wisdom of the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission, which says that employers cannot refuse to hire ex-cons just because they're ex-cons. Again, worldnetdaily.com, dateline.radioamerica.org. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily.